All right, now we're moving into our study again of the Ten Commandments, and we're moving up towards the Fifth Commandment. I hope you have your outline sheet and you'll be able to follow along. I try to put different things on the sheet, and this week I put on there, of course, all the New Testament verses of the Fifth Commandment, and I'll try to do that for the rest of them as we go along as well. Now, as we continue to march through, and that's what we're doing, the Ten Commandments, we now come to what many believe is actually a split. And you might say, what am I talking about? Well, the commandments move from how we as human beings, of course, relate to God as our Creator, and now we're moving to how we relate to one another on this earth and in our fellowships and in our families, one with another. So it's kind of like for the first four commandments, it was our relationship vertically, and now the relationship horizontally in the next and for the remaining commandments as well. So that's what I meant by a split. Now, it's also appropriate that God chose that when he made the split to move to the horizontal, the first thing that God wants all of us to know about is the fifth commandment here. And it's the first and foremost with relationships, one with another, beginning in the family, that will bless the individual and, of course, the community at large. Now, as we move our attention from the only uncreated being that we have been talking about, and that is Yahweh Elohim, to the highest created beings, and that is mankind, our human family members. Now, this transition we're going to notice also begins with, of all things, the human father. And why? Because God is our creator and first father. And then will come, of course, our human father, who is the last father for all human beings. And it is the first of humanity that will receive what God was receiving, and that is honor and respect. We were to give honor and respect to God as father, and now we're to give honor and respect to our human father on the earth. So we'll begin with the reading of the Word of God. I won't use the recorded reading because it's a short verse at that, but I also put together not only Exodus 20:12, but I put together Deuteronomy 5:16. And the reason why I have both of these together is Moses was telling the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. At one, he told them 1 month out of Egypt. And then after 40 years, he told it to their children who were going into the land of promise, the promised land. So he kind of gives a little commentary on it, which with God's approval, it's put in the Word of God. So let's read it. We'll have prayer and we'll look into it. And I've got a lot of things to say about it today. Exodus 20 verse 12 begins with, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Very simply, that's the fifth commandment. But then Moses speaks it again, and he says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So there's two promises right there, that you will live long in the land, and that you live well in the land. Both of those are beautiful promises, which of course God wants for all of us. Let's pray. Father, as we open the Bible again today into the Old Testament, we're looking into the book of Exodus and the Ten Commandments. And indeed, these Ten Commandments were given importantly enough for Israel to hide them in their hearts that they might not sin against you, but also for the New Testament believer as well, because all of these commandments are repeated in the New Testament for the Christian. Although the fourth commandment we saw was given to us in a different light and vein, the principle of it was still the same. But now we're coming to the fifth through the tenth commandment, and these are very explicitly, with no changes and no additions and no subtractions, given to all of us as a commandment in the New Testament. So help us to understand it, help us to obey it, and help us to live it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, if there's anyone listening today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, and of course we're talking to those outside the church that we're fellowshipping in here, but Lord, if there's anyone listening on the internet who doesn't know Christ, Don't let them turn away from the message. Cause them to listen to the whole of it, and then, of course, to respond to it, calling upon Jesus to save them from their sins. They will enter into the glory and blessing that God has for them. Now, for us all, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you have your outline sheet, but of course for those watching on the internet, I want to put it up there on the screen for them. We're going to look at three things. These are all the same for each commandment because they very easily fall into a category of breaking down the commandment, the authority, analysis, and application. But I have changed the subpoints, of course, for the particular commandment. Now, the fifth commandment, its authority, we're going to look at God's structure of creation and God's sharing of the command that came forth from creation. Then we're going to look at an analysis of the method of honoring God through the Old Testament believer and the manner that they were to honor God in the process. And then the fifth, the final part, is of course always application. For the Old Testament believer, application, and for the New Testament believer, application as well. All of those are important. And I hope we'll be able to cover it and cover them all. Here we go. All right, the fifth commandment, its authority, God's structure of creation. You know, there was a statement made some time ago, and you'll probably say amen to it. I think everybody will. Youth today are rebellious and disobedient to their parents. What generation can't really say that? You know, and I read that one time. It was written by a man, a great man of God by the name of Dr. Harold J. Saylor. And that cry might be, of course, the cry of you or our generation as well. But guess what? That expression, youth today are rebellious and disobedient to their parents, and I'll put it in quotes there, was actually words that were an inscription found on the side of an Egyptian tomb chiseled there 4,000 years ago. So you can see that things have not changed, have they, at all anyway, at least in human relationships. So to understand the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, we need, of course, to go back to the beginning. And there we'll notice that this fifth commandment that God gave takes us different directions from the four that we have studied. Now let's read in the beginning, Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I put in brackets there, lives, because in the Hebrew it's in the plural. You know, what is the breath of life? Well, what are the breath of lives? I believe that indicates that every human being that was to be born was actually put within the loins of Adam. And Adam would, of course, each generation spread them out through the world and for all eternity. And the reason I say that is, you know, after the worlds and everything was created in 6 days, God did what? He ceased from the creation. Where else in the Bible does it say God continues to go on creating? Nowhere. God does no more creation. He ceased forever from creation. So where did you come from? Where did I come from? Right here. From Adam and, of course, in Eve. And so these verses are important, and that brings us into the fifth commandment himself, which is, of course, going all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve. For instance, in Genesis 1, 27 to 28, it says, God created mankind in what? His own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He didn't create them any other way. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, rule over the birds in the sky, and rule over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave mankind, the highest creation, the absolute kingship of the world, and that was given to Adam. You know, Genesis 4, 1, of course, after Adam sinned and was cast forth from the garden, we know that Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, now notice what she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. The Hebrew text really means, she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth the man. Do you know what she thought? She thought the Messiah had come. She thought the promise that God was going to save Adam and Eve and all that was going to come was right there. Unfortunately, it was not right there. It was Cain. He was of the devil. And therefore it would take generations before God would bring forth the Savior there. And of course, as each child grows up from Adam and Eve there, the first awareness of our human existence, think about your own for that matter, comes from a knowledge of you being just that, an individual, right? Hopefully, this would, of course, in our day and age, come forth from a normal family setting, a biblical family setting as God intended, which is a home with a Bible-believing, saved father and mother watching over us, nurturing us, and caring for us. And some of you have had the privilege to grow up in a Christian home and family. And many of us have not necessarily grown up in a Christian home and family. I grew up in a religious home and family. You know the difference, don't you? A religious home follows the principles of the Scripture, but there's no salvation in there, nor are you brought into any salvation experience. It just teaches you to live according to the commandments that society has endowed with. And then, of course, some of you, unfortunately, were not brought up in a Christian or religious family at all. You were brought up in a godless family that went in every direction and caused you, of course, to suffer in the process there. I'm going to talk about that in a little while there. But if you were brought up in a faithful, nurturing family then, and you were faithful to God, you have parents in your memory, of course, that you know and you honor because of their faithfulness to God and the commandments of the Lord. And of course, you were, I hope, taught the Ten Commandments there, and everything that we've talked about so far in a relationship of prayer and biblical instruction and coming to church and participation of worship and other religious activities. That's what a religious family does. I went to church every Sunday, but I knew nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I somehow believed that He was a Savior, but He was really the Savior of a group of people, you know, and not me in particularly. God wasn't really interested in me. He was just interested in this group of people in the church. And if I stayed in this group of people, well, He would let me come to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you personally are a sinner. You personally must confess and repent of your sins. You personally must see who the Savior and only one who can pay for your sins, which is Jesus Christ. And you must call upon Him personally to save you and be your forgiver of your sins. And that's when salvation comes, and that's when a true Christian is born in the process there. But nonetheless, being born in a religious family led me in the right direction, and that was the important thing. But you know, some of us were never led in the right direction, and there's a whole world out there of people who are not led in any direction, and they need you and me out there to help them know and find the Savior, Jesus Christ, how important it is. So keep that in mind. Now, again, the Ten Commandments and the Fifth Commandment in particular, which goes back to the beginning. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land. Now, of course, that obviously goes back to all the children that were born from Adam and Eve, because God didn't begin it with the Israelites. It was a principle that He wanted to be obeyed and understood from all humanity in the process there. But nonetheless, we are to remember from where we came from. You and I are a created being. We are not evolved beings as the unsaved world is teaching our children today. We didn't come from a mindful nothing. We didn't exist from a mindless purpose. And we are not going to a morbid unknown death. Right? That alone can cause us to think we are useless human beings and that we are going nowhere and purposeless. Isn't that terrible? Our young people outside of Christ and outside of the kingdom of God are learning nothing else in the school systems except that they are purposeless, mindless beings. And of course, being a purposeless, mindless being, well then, what's this world for? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's what our young people are doing in the process there. But as Christians, we know this is not so. We are a created being and brought forth from previous human beings. Who are the previous human beings? Your neighbor next door? No. Someone in another country? No. It is your own personal mom and dad. Your own personal mother and father. And as created beings brought forth, we have a great debt to the Creator who created us and brought us forth. How? By his assistance. That is, your mother and your father. How important it really is when you think about that very thing there. Now, in the universe God has created, please note, he's also created what we call delegated authority, right? In other words, we're to honor our mothers and fathers because they have been delegated the authority of God to rule us to the time we become adults. Every child is under the rulership, not of the school, not of a government, not of any group or anything like that, not even of a church. Children are under the rulership exclusively of mother and father, whom God is going to hold accountable for that delegated authority that is his, that you and I and anyone who will have children will bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, so they will love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their strength. It is you, as mom and dad, the responsibility that God is going to hold you accountable. And if you have had a child, you will not be allowed to escape when you stand before God and he's going to say, did you do that on my behalf? Did you bring your children into this world on my behalf? Now, this command of delegated authority, of course, is that God is head over all. And below him, there are various other created beings. We know what they are. Angels and principalities and powers of darkness, actually, Ephesians 6:12, who have a great measure of delegated authority. And Peter talks about this. He says in the New Testament, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into the heavens and is at God's right hand. And what is he doing there? He's with angels and authorities and powers in submission to him. We've talked about that in previous messages, how this is true. So God in his universe is now in command of all these things with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, God the Son, of course, is part of the triune Godhead. God the Son is the Savior and Redeemer of all mankind, and he is head over all the angels and authorities. And, of course, he has delegated a measure of that authority to others as well. And thirdly, along with God the Son and God the Father, we have God the Holy Spirit. What is his ministry? Well, he's co-equal with God in essence and person. And his job is to oversee humanity that is born. He is to teach humanity and guide humanity and comfort and intercede for them, which of course is the believer in Jesus Christ. And so that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now likewise, God has created all mankind with more measures of authority because we would have absolute disunity in everything if we didn't have that. You know what that measure of authority is as well. And that is the society in which we live. And he's given all sorts of relationships for that very purpose there. So God gave this fifth commandment to remind us and warn, first of all, the covenant people of Israel that are there, that they are to honor and obey all those in the delegated authority. And that begins with mother and father. Because God is creator of all, and he has the right to demand obedience to those whom he has placed in authority over us. And because God has set over all earthly beings, these co-creators, which is you and me, who have reproduced children as earthly mothers and fathers. And so it's really important to think about that. Paul wrote to the Romans about the authority. Let everyone be subject to what? The governing authorities. That is, there is no authority except that which exists that God has established. And the authorities that exist have been established by God himself. And you know, Paul said to Timothy, now listen, Timothy, don't you forget to pray for those in authority, for kings and all those in authority. And why? So that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So think about that. From the earliest age, you learn who is in authority over you. Number one is father and mother. But then, when you're old enough, what are you going to do? You're going to go off to some form of education. Maybe it's homeschooling. Maybe it's Christian schooling. Maybe it's public schooling. Something what you went through or I went through. And there'll be those in authority over you. School teachers. And in the society in which we live, there are police officers. And if you break the law, you will come into contact with judges who are in authority over you. And of course, there are others, as Paul was telling Timothy here, and that's kings in parliaments or presidents in congressional rulers. It really doesn't matter. But all of these things are God-ordained, ordered authorities commanded by God's word to rule you and me until we come home in glory. But all this goes back again to one point. Individuals, mother and fathers, who in the early years are our absolute authority, by which we are to obey unquestionably as long as their commands are not causing you, of course, to disobey God's other commands as well. So, in Israel, God placed strict penalties for disobedience to any of these. For instance, if a child, as he was growing up, and he got into his teenage years, and he became arrogant and insolent and unrepentant and disobedient to his mother and father, do you know what the law had to say about that? Let me show you on the screen here. Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 20. If someone has a stubborn, rebellious son who does not obey his mother and father, will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take him hold of him and bring him to the elders of the gate of the town. And they shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is absolutely stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Of course, that refers to a young man who is older than a young child. But he's still a young man, a teenager probably. "Then all the men of his town are to stone this child to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid." Imagine that. This case, of course, presupposes, I would think, a long history of ruthless rebelliousness, and that this was the last resort of the parents. And the teenage son had become, as it says on the screen there, a glutton and a drunkard. And so he was hanging out with his buddies for that. And he had developed a lifestyle of some kind of deviant behavior to what he was supposed to be doing. And that, as he developed this and shall we say, disobedience to biblical law and the right and authority of his parents to rule him and to be an authority over him. Now today, our world would read this scripture and go, "Oh my goodness, this is impossible. How could they ever say something like that?" Really? Don't forget who wrote this. It was not Moses. It was God who said this. And that's how serious God is. Parents are God-ordered partners with God in creation of each human being. And to honor our parents is to really honor God. To dishonor our parents, God says, you are directly dishonoring God. You know, it's the same when we get up to the fifth commandment. To murder a human being is to strike your hand and try to murder God. And that's why God called for the death penalty for murder. So in other words, these are things where God is saying, you are not striking at mother and fathers. You're striking at me, the Creator God himself. And I'm going to take you to account for that very purpose there. All right. Again, some scripture that talks about that. For instance, disobeying fathers and mothers during the stages of upbringing, when one reaches early adulthood, says later teenage years are probably in view here. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Leviticus 20, verse 9. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death because they have cursed their father and mother, and their blood will be on their own heads, meaning their death in the process there. So, in a sense, we have laws like that today. Think about our laws, right? We have what we call adult adjudication, and we have juvenile adjudication. For instance, if an adult commits a crime of some sort, there's two things that are going to happen to you. You're either going to go to jail, or if it's serious enough, you're going to face the death penalty. Now, if it's a juvenile, and maybe they even do the same things, but if they're a juvenile, what are they going to go? They're going to go into some form of detention so that they can have retraining until they're old enough and then they're set free. So we have a different viewpoint for a juvenile and for an adult. All these things are not talking about little children in a home who will sass their parents. It's talking about when they get to those formative, almost adult years and they're still under their parents' control and authority, and they have a long history of disobedience, it's time that God intervenes and he will take their life. Now, I have a question. When I came across this, I started to think, how long were parents God's early stand-in for him, right? And how long were children to obey their parents? Good question, isn't it? When does it move from obedience of parents to honor and respect of parents? Well, the Bible tells us. I had to look through it to find it, but nonetheless it's there. Numbers 14:28. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In the wilderness your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census, who has grumbled against me. God was holding these Israelites. Remember, they came out of Egypt here, and they were grumbling in the land. And when they came to Kadesh Barnea, and the 12 spies went in, and 10 of them came back and gave a bad report, and all the people said, oh, we can't go into the land. There are giants in there, and they're going to eat us up. And God was going to take them into the land, right? And he was going to give them victory. But they said to God, we don't accept that. We don't believe that. And they said, would to God we died in the wilderness. Don't talk and let God hear you. Because God heard them when they said that. Would to God we die in the wilderness. And that's what this says here. In the wilderness your bodies will fall, every one of you. And so he marched them around for 40 years till every one of them who came out of Egypt had died. Their children lived, but they were dead. But how did he discover they were adults? He was not going to bring out upon children. 20 years old was the point. And then again in Exodus 30 verse 14, I won't go there, but it's also again another accounting of Israel, and it is the age 20 years old. So, as far as this was concerned, when a young man or woman reached 20, they were an adult. And they would pay and stand for whatever an adult would pay or stand for. And so before that, they were under the rulership of their parents. So keep that in mind, and it's important to think about there. Now, Proverbs 6:20-23, this brings us, of course, to the analysis here, the method of honoring. My son, Solomon writes, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And what are you to do with them? You're to bind them always on your heart. You're to fasten them around your neck. And when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you're awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the way to life. In other words, God is saying now, you're an adult. You're leaving your home of your mother and father. Now all the things that they taught you and all that I commanded you, God is saying, through your mother and father, I want them to be a part of your very inner being. And I want you to live it out in your life. And if you have listened to your mom and dad and the godly upbringing that you have there, I don't know what that is there. Doesn't belong there anyway. And if you do that, then you are going to have a beautiful and wonderful life. So this obedience begins with parents and the family, and it changes from obedience to what? Now you're going to honor and respect your parents. But there's still a form of obedience that God expects from you. Guess what? Because now it moves from mom and dad, and it moves to society. Now you're living in society and you're to obey the rulers of society over you. It'll be kings and priests. It'll be ruling town elders. It'll be biblical teachers. It'll be, in our more modern society, police and governing authorities of some sort. So it's important for us to see this. So some selected Old Testament will help us in understanding these things as well. If I can move the screen here. It doesn't want to move. Something happened there. I don't know what happened there. I think you're going to have to move it for me up there, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll just give you the signal like this. You move the screen. Move to the next one.
Arrow key?
Yeah. The N key. See the N? Should move. Is it moving? Our screen is very obstinate today. It doesn't want to move at all.
Can I go to escape?
Yeah, go to escape. It's locked up for some reason there. It's the what? Oh, that virus protection. Yeah, something. Anyway, all right. You pushed the button there. Didn't go?
Escape is not doing it.
It's not doing that. All right. Let's see what you can push here. Oh, something was moving there. You see that arrow?
I'm doing that.
Oh, you're doing that?
Yeah, end
the show. Okay, now go down on the left. What number is that there where we are?
116.
Okay, hit F5. Now put the number 116, enter. Hey, we're back. Okay. That gremlin, we got him out again, all right? Anyway, honoring parents. In the Old Testament, here's some scripture. Proverbs 20, verse 20. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. This is what God is saying. Proverbs 23, 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. In other words, even parents past the point of obedience, they can still give good, honest instruction to their children as well. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. God is saying, if you're not going to obey your mom and dad when you're young, and you're going to despise them when they're old, well, then there's nothing left for you but for you to lose your life, all right? Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Isn't that beautiful there? So we honor God by honoring His Word and His commands for us. Now, the manner of honoring God, of course, Genesis 1, 28. God blessed them and said, be fruitful to Adam and Eve, and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, it goes on, the birds of the sky, and every living creature that moves. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. How wonderful it really is. So the concept here is of a family, and it's extremely important in the Bible, both in a physical sense and a theological sense. So God introduced the family in the beginning. And it was through this forming of one flesh that's spoken about in Genesis 2:24 there, the union of the marriage and the coming of the children, that is the essential building block of any and every society of any day and age. So in fact, God gave this fifth commandment, and we're going to see when we get up to it that the seventh commandment goes along with the fifth commandment that talks about sexual purity and monogamy of marriage. And from those two commands flow everything else that the Mosaic civil law will bring. So forming and maintaining a biblical family, and I stress biblical family, is the manner that we honor God. How important it really is. Now, this brings us to the third thing, the application for the Old Testament believer. What does the Old Testament believer face in disobeying the fifth commandment? Well, three things, obviously, one we've talked about. To kill one's parents brings the death penalty, or to disobey one's parents. But there's more. To steal from your parents is to plunder one's own family, and it was an unthinkable crime that was punished in Israel as well. And it was worse yet, because when Jesus walked the earth, this is the very thing he accused the Pharisees. Remember, they were the rulers of the Jews, the spiritual rulers. He accused them of doing this very thing, stealing from their parents. They had a godless scheme called Korban. I'll get into it in a minute here. Anyway, and he promised them, because of their Korban plan, that they were going to hell as a result of that very thing. And the third is to treat parents with scorn and abuse, we've seen already, will bring the death penalty for it. And it will also shorten life or the extended blessings of the Lord. So if the Old Testament believer wanted to have a long life, wanted to have a life that went well for them, God simply said, then you better place your parents in a place of great authority, great blessing and honor and respect all the days of their life, as we went into the ending of it. So that's important for it. Now, some more scripture. Leviticus 19:32. Stand up in the presence of the aged and show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. I don't know about you. You know, when I went to school, this is the very truth, and I wasn't taught this in a Christian environment. I was taught this in a societal environment. When I went to school, if an adult walked into the room, the whole class was to stand up, and we were not to sit down until the teacher dismissed us. Do you know why we were to stand up? Because someone who was of age came in a room and we were to honor them. And you know, that was taught. You honored the aged people by standing up. And where did that come from? Right here, Leviticus 19:32. Stand up in the presence of the Lord. When we rode the subway or anything like that, and an elderly person got on and you had a seat and there were no more seats, you didn't look for someone else to get up. You got up and gave that seat to the elderly person there. You held the door for elderly people. You know, Ursa and I have gone through supermarkets and things where young people slammed the door in our faces and then got mad at us because we didn't hold it for them. That's the truth. They have taught nothing today about the elderly. Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. And I am he who will sustain you. I love this verse. I have made you and I will carry you and I will sustain you and I will rescue you. So if you're gaining old age, I don't know anyone who's gaining old age here, except me maybe. But God says, don't worry, I'm going to go with you. I know what you're going through. I know the things that you are suffering from, and I will be with you. Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteous. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. So the Mosaic law held parents very high in a position into old age as well. Now, this is all carried into the New Testament. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:12, honor your father and mother, which is the first command with promise. But if a widow has children, he said to Timothy, or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice. How? By caring for their own family and repaying their parents and their grandparents. So this is pleasing to the Lord. So this is really the fifth commandment in the New Testament here. Honoring parents and even grandparents. Now, honoring your father and mother is being respectful, of course, in word and action, but it's having an inward attitude of esteem for their position in doing that. Now, the Greek word for honor is to revere, to prize, to value greatly. Isn't that something? So honor is giving, showing respect and merit, not only for a position as co-creators, as mother and father, but as co-rulers with God. And we can show respect, of course, by addressing our parents as mom and dad or mother and father or something of that. Not ever using their first names, because that's dishonoring to parents for children to do that very thing. Why, we even had that years ago with relatives or friends. Friends would be called aunt and uncle, even though they weren't aunt and uncle, because it was a point of respect for someone who is coming into the family as well. And of course, we addressed an adult as Mr. or Mrs. or Miss, something of that nature there. Or when we come into a court of law, we say, Your Honor, right, for someone who is ruling from the bench. Or the policeman stops you and you roll down your window, you say, Sir or Officer, right? And we do that with anything else as well. How about addressing our president as Mr. President or Sir or Ma'am? Where did all these things go? These were points of honor and respect for those of age. And it really was important. So Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, what? Especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so Paul said to Timothy too, put your religion into practice by caring for your own family And of course, repaying your parents and grandparents, because this is pleasing to God. But you know, even in the time of Paul, he said there's a day coming in the future, 2 Timothy 3:2, when men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful and unholy. And as believers, our attitude should follow into the world in which we live, as I said there, requirements. You know, there's a requirement for being a ruler in a church that your family would be managed well, and that your children will obey you. How important it really is to have that. So in the New Testament, the fifth commandment was subject, of course, as I said, and I'll get onto this now, of the Pharisees exploiting their parents. How did they do that? Look what it says in Matthew 15, verses 4 to 6. God said, honor your father and mother. This is Jesus speaking. And anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their mother and father with it. And thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. They had this tradition called Korban. And Korban is where they decided they would take a sum of money or some possession, maybe land or something of value, and they would say, this is going to be dedicated to God. We haven't done that yet, but it's going to be dedicated to God. So we're going to keep it in our possession until we dedicate it to God. And if it's money or something, and our parents have needs, and we don't have anything to do, we're not obligated to take care of our parents anymore, because we have nothing to take care of it, even though they had money or possessions or land or what have you. And this is what Jesus says. You phonies, he said, you have nullified the word of God with the sake of your tradition. So they deliberately violated the fifth commandment. Now, I want to address a problem, of course, for some of you. Some adults have grown up with abusive, or shall we say, godless parents. And that, these abusive parents, you can look back on it, and you have had painful memories. And someone actually came to me a while ago and said, how can I honor my father and mother when I know what they did to us as children? They physically abused us, or sexually abused us, even that went on. And how can I honor them? Well, I have a word for you. I say this. Honoring parents doesn't mean that you have to have fellowship with them if they're still alive. It doesn't mean you have to have communion with them in any way. If it is not possible, one even told me, if I even go near my parents, they will start abusing me again, in word or even in actions. I have to stay away. How can I honor them? And I want to honor them in a way that pleases the Lord. Well, you can honor them the way God honors people like that. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 17. The tribe of Israel walked away from the Lord, and they continued to walk away from the Lord. And God had to finally say to tribe of Ephraim here, Ephraim is joined with idols. Let Ephraim alone. You know what God said? God said, if that's what they want, I'm going to honor them. And I want you to honor them that way too. Leave them alone. Let them go the way they want. Let them go to hell. And that's where they will be going. So in other words, you honor them by leaving them alone. Now, in the process, what I would do, because you should not be holding any grudge against them. You should have forgiven them in your heart, even though you can't forgive them in any other way. You can send them a Christmas card. You can send them a birthday card. You can send them an anniversary card, just showing that you really care for them and that you're praying for them. But you'll have to keep your distance. And I'm sorry that it has to be. But we live in a fallen world, and that may well be there. And so this is one way. Now, I want to give you quickly 7 keys for honoring your parents. You might want to write them down. 7 keys for honoring your parents. I'll put them up on the screen here. Now, I'm not the originator of this. I'll tell you, I came across them from an old decision magazine in, I think it was 2013. And it was written by a man by the name of Don Wilton. But he said it so well I can't say it any better. Maybe I'll enumerate a little bit on it. But here are seven keys for honoring parents. Number one, value your parents' world. That's good. No matter how old they are, remember this, they're living in a world that is highly relevant to them and valuable. And it's possibly different from yours. We who are older know what I'm talking about here. And sometimes our children will want us to come into their world, but we're not ready. And they should honor that while you have that. So respect that and don't try to change it unless, of course, that world of ours is harmful for us. All right? Number two, respect your parents' age. What do we mean by that? Well, as we're growing older, guess what? We're starting to lose abilities. I'm starting to lose the ability sometimes to remember things. I mean, instant things. It's the short-term memory, right? You know, before it was like this. Now it's coming like this. Right? Well, your kids, they don't have that. And sometimes they'll laugh at that. They'll mock that or make light of that, limitations. But don't do that to your parents. I'm talking to the younger ones here. Love them in it. And you know why? Because you're going to be there very soon. And you will be no different from them as well. All right? Number three, model your parents' godly attributes. Remember the many good things they said and did that blessed your life and use it in your own heart as well. Remember your children are watching you or our grandchildren and they want to see how you're treating your parents in the process there. All right? Number four, protect your parents' individual dignity. You know, the older we become, the more we will cherish and hedge their personal privacy and protection. In other words, watch out for them and protect them as they grow older. They did that for you when you were younger in the process as well. Number five, fulfill your parents' essential joy. What do we mean by that? Well, make it your business to find out what gives them joy. What gives your parents joy? Sometimes it's a simple phone call, right? Phone call and talk to them. As I said, maybe it's going to be an anniversary card or a birthday card. We older folks like to send cards, and I think the younger ones have forgotten all about that, and they don't do that anymore. Well, young person, if you're listening, start thinking about doing that because that makes them happy. All right, number six, provide for your parents' basic needs. You know, make sure you're not feasting at the king's table while your parents are eating out of a bowl of beans, you know. That might happen. Just because we grow older doesn't mean we're going to have the financial necessities to watch over us. And things get worse as time goes on as well. So watch over your parents and make sure they have enough nourishment and things for their eating right. And make sure they're eating right. You know, when my mother, before we had to put her into a home, we came to visit her. We can only visit her twice a year because we lived a couple of thousand miles away. I came to see her and she had in the refrigerator a loaf of bread and that's all. And butter. She loved butter. So she would take toast and butter the toast and take a slab of butter, put it on there and take a bite, take a slab of butter, put it on there. Man, she ate about half a pound of butter on two slices of bread. But she loved that, but she didn't eat anything else. We knew at that point she's not eating right. So we have to think about that too. Watch your parents to make sure they are eating right in the process there. Number seven, and that's a real simple one right here. Just do it. Take the time, spend the time, and whatever it's going to cost here to honor your God-given responsibilities for your parents and for your grandparents. And just do it. You'll remember one day that you'll be glad that you did, because the day isn't coming. The day is coming that you won't be able to do it anymore because they're going to be gone. My mother and father and my mother and father-in-law are gone. And I'm very thankful that I honored them with the things of the Lord. But even though I honored them, and Ursula and I both did that, there were still things we could have done more that we're sorry that we didn't do. And it's an awful thing when you get to that point because there's nothing you can do about it. So while they're alive, take care of them. How important it is. Your day will come too. When it's going to be over. Now, this ends my message really. But the fifth commandment runs completely throughout the Old and the New Testament here. And as we close, I said in the beginning, remember that verse of scripture? It is found in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Those who honor me, God said, I will honor. But those who despise me will be despised. So it's up to you. And if you have your parents or grandparents still around, or you want to give this message to your children or grandchildren, wouldn't it be a good thing if you give them a copy of it, right? Then they can have still opportunity to honor the Lord with their parents. How important it is. So the question is, how faithful are we to honor our parents and the things they taught us and the things that we know we should do for them if they're still around? God wants you to do it. That's what the fifth commandment is all about. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the word of God. And I just pray that each and every one of us here, that we are either faithful to do these things if we still have opportunity for our parents or grandparents. And if not, for our children to honor us in the process as well, or for our grandchildren to honor us and obey the things of the Lord that is called for in this fifth commandment. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. All right.